because we are living in a chemical world, and I'm a chemical nondescript person. We are living in a chemical world, and I am a chemical girl. We are living in a chemical world, and I am a chemical girl or boy. We are living in a chemical world, and I am a chemical.
Good afternoon, and welcome to Chemical World. I am Kenna Crampton, joined in studio with Muggsy Faye.
Hi there, I am Muggsy Faye, a.k.a. Maggie Seldine. Call me whatever you like, just don't call me late for dinner or call me out for my really corny dad jokes. Welcome to the March edition of Chemical World.
Yeah, welcome. Thank you. Welcome to you.
Thank you for being here. It's here in beautiful Carbondale, Colorado. It's beautiful Monday, March 11th, and we're just coming off of yet another beautiful, busy event weekend.
Yeah.
I'm literally at a loss for words to describe it. Can't quite wrap my mind around it all, but it's really exciting to see, even when we're getting the snow, it's still warming up out there, and it's really feeling like springtime.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, so nice. I've been getting spring fever. I had spring fever before that last snow.
Mm-hmm.
Started like doing stuff. I was like pulling weeds and just doing all kinds of stuff. And then it snowed, but it's really nice. I'm loving it.
Yeah, I'm a little annoyed because the temperature is really motivating me. I really want to go hiking, but
it's so muddy.
Yeah, a little PSA to myself. Not the best when it's super muddy out to be going up on the trails, but we're almost there. And it's like the hard in-between. I mean, we're still on ski season, but that in-between in April, May of ski season and river season can be hard.
Yeah, definitely. Especially if you're not a skier.
Yeah, absolutely. And so, you know, to that point, of course, there's always fun stuff going on around, more and more events that are getting bigger and better every year here in Carbondale.
Yeah.
And excited with both KDNK and High Rockies Harm Reduction to continue, you know, expanding our events across our little service region here in the rural Rockies. And a reminder that, you know, you can't ski without powder. So at High Rockies Harm Reduction, we are more than happy to provide free overdose prevention and response supplies such as fentanyl test strips and Narcan intranasal naloxone kits that reverse overdoses. You know, on our last episode, we talked about how we have been expanding our direct services with that. You know, we also are excited as the weather warms up and there are more and more events and people coming out from hibernation a little bit more. You know, we love to be wherever we can, but also just get supplies into the hands of folks who need them before they need them. And we've continued to hear reports of cocaine contamination, MDMA contamination, and whatever else is out there on the streets possibly being contaminated with fentanyl. So sorry to bring the conversation down a little bit, but over President's Day weekend, there's a news report of 9 Narcan uses at this concert out in Eagle County. I can't remember exactly where it was because I have a lot of events to hold in my brain. But 9 Narcan deployments over the weekend at this concert. It was interesting because the paramedics' response to that is we didn't necessarily see 9 overdoses in the emergency department because using Narcan doesn't mean an overdose happened,
yeah.
Right? But we have heard reports of paramedics in the region providing naloxone in response to overdoses from what we believe to be cocaine contaminated with fentanyl in our communities here throughout the Roaring Fork, Grand, Crystal, Eagle. There's a lot of valleys that we serve and a lot of areas of rural Colorado, right? But yeah, wherever people are potentially skiing with powder or recreating in other ways or medicating or treating pain for injuries that they had skiing or out and about or whatever the case may be. Always really good idea to have Narcan around. It is now over the counter, so you can get it from most pharmacies. But we're excited to keep expanding our service hours at High Rockies Harm Reduction. So a little reminder, if you missed us, we are in Carbondale and Basalt every second Friday. We are in Leadville every fourth Saturday. We're in Edwards now every fourth Thursday. Yes, that is correct. Edwards every fourth Thursday at Eagle County Paramedic Services. We're also rolling out services in March in Breckenridge and Frisco. and working on getting some locations in Pickin and Western Garfield County. So you can find more information about our schedule and our services at highrockiesharmreduction.com. And if you have any questions about Narcan, getting free Narcan or training or any of that, a reminder that you don't need training to use Narcan. You can get it from a pharmacy. Everyone's protected from any criminal or civil liability to use Narcan, even if someone's not actually overdosing, but you think they are. You can't hurt someone, so hit me up if you have more questions at Maggie, M-A-G-G-I-E, at highrockiesharmreduction.com. Okay, that was a mouthful, but I just had to plug it.
Yeah,
want
totally.
Everyone to stay as safe and educated as possible.
Yeah, definitely. I think it's really important. I've also, somebody told me that they've heard also like rat poisoning being in cocaine around here as well. I don't know how the hell you even test for that, but just be aware. Scary stuff.
Yeah, that's interesting. I mean, there's definitely that problem with like any drugs that are like illegal that we buy on the street, right, or online, is that we don't know what's in them. They're not regulated. That's the beauty of decriminalization, right? When you buy cannabis from a dispensary or alcohol from a store, you know that this is regulated, right, and goes through a lot of testing to make sure it is what we're saying it is. But when it comes to illicit drugs, which, you know, it's also hard because there are legal forms of every illicit drug, particularly in prescription medicine. So like if a doctor prescribes you Adderall or Oxycontin or benzodiazepines or ketamine or whatever the case may be, you know that that's what it is because it's coming from your doctor and all this regulation and the DEA and all that good stuff. But when you're accessing the same chemicals on the street, we have no idea what's in them. And yeah, cocaine has historically been, you know, at least rumored to be contaminated with all sorts of things, but all street drugs, heroin, cocaine, MDMA, you know, the difference supposedly between Molly and ecstasy is that Molly is pure MDMA and ecstasy is cut with something. But like everything's cut with something on the streets, often just to make a little bit more bang for your buck, right? Like if you have enough MDMA in the sample and some crushed up Advil or baby powder or rat poison or whatever looks like a, you know, the same kind of consistency as the drug, you can add that in there. Ideally, you don't want to use things like rat poison that can cause psychoactive effects because you're trying to like mimic the drug. But people do all sorts of weird things.
Because, I mean, it's like at least if you're putting like fentanyl in there. Oh, I forgot I was wearing makeup. I just rubbed my eye. at least then they're still feeling high. It's like a whole nother feeling, you know, and some people will like it, that then they come back to the drug dealer for more. And I heard a whole podcast about like why drug dealers put fentanyl in drugs. And it was just somebody talking to one drug dealer who had, you know, experience with it. So that's one story and one reason why people might do it. So
yeah, but
so it's really confusing.
No, and it is really interesting too, because I've read similar stuff about how because fentanyl is such a different kind of opioid than like heroin or Vicodin or morphine, it's like really shorter acting, so they can even like tweak it to kind of get both sedative and stimulant effects from it. So it could theoretically like mimic cocaine too, because people often say like, oh, well, why would you put fentanyl and cocaine? It's like, well, the problem too is that we don't have proper drug education, so we don't know what drugs are supposed to feel like or supposed to do.
Totally.
And that's actually brings up another really good point, an issue I'm having with like fentanyl test strips. It's the best science we have, but they're not designed for this. And we know that you have to use more water to test meth or MDMA than if you're testing heroin or cocaine. But what if your cocaine is cut with meth? Exactly. Yeah. And a lot of the time, there's a really cool website called drugsdata.org that tracks like samples and what they're being sold as and what they actually are. And a lot of the time, you know, maybe you think you have MDMA, but you actually have ketamine. Like it might not even be like a necessarily a contamination issue, just like you don't know what you have. Because also,
maybe
like
the drug dealer doesn't know they have.
Well, and also a dealer will sell you what you want, right?
Yeah, and they're like, well, I don't know that, but I have this. Yeah.
And totally. It's also, it creates this hard issue too, because drug dealers almost feels like a harsh term, because folks who are selling illicit substances are also, you know, caught in these mechanisms of just racism and inequality and lack of access to proper care that lead to the the drug crisis, quote unquote, that we have. Like, this isn't really a criminal issue. It's a mental health issue, as we always say. And drug dealers often are the first to get, like, mid-level drug dealers are often the first to get thrown under the bus.
Yeah.
And I always say you could arrest every dealer in Colorado and it would not affect the flow of drugs because mm-hmm. they are not the main folks, like, trafficking it, right? And those folks will find other mid-level dealers. And traditionally, those mid-level dealers are folks who are also dependent. And so they're literally fighting to survive, just like we all are. And a lot of us, some of us, just have more or better resources to survive, yeah. right? But that doesn't give us the right to judge folks who have next to no or absolutely no resources to survive and are just doing what they can, right?
Yeah. I mean, it comes down to... I mean, unfortunately, because we all judge no matter what, it's really, you can't really judge anybody, you know? Because when you said that, it reminded me of another podcast I was listening to. This is actually happening about a gentleman who was working for a drug enforcement sect of law enforcement mm-hmm. in the UK in 1993 to the 2000, I think. But and he said that when he really realized that he wasn't doing any good was when they did a huge bust. They'd worked 7 months, done, you know, a lot of damage, you know, to himself, to, you know, especially after so many years of being undercover. And they shut it down for 6 hours.
Yeah.
So, you know, and he was just like, what? All of that work and all that time, and that was so that's what it reminded me of. But it's like, again, you can't judge those people because they're just trying to do the right thing. And so, yeah, it just kind of comes to we're all just doing the best we can.
Yeah, I remember having many moments of questioning myself because I grew up with not a good relationship with law enforcement. And I grew up in a world where law enforcement was not to be trusted. I also grew up in an immigrant family. And I think that that is really, like,
yeah,
strong definitely. In most immigrant families because also
for good reason.
In a lot of other countries, the police are not our friends. In this country, sometimes they are, but, you know, a lot of us are kind of raised to believe that they're not. And we want to, like, stay under the radar to the best of our ability. So I've always kind of had this conflict, though, when I know that somebody is out there, in my opinion, kind of doing harm, right? Mm-hmm. Like, how do I control that? And by doing harm, I mean selling drugs.
Yeah.
And, you know, some of the, like, worst moral offenses, quote unquote, selling drugs to, like, really young people, right? Mm-hmm. And getting people hooked early and things like that. And I remember my dad telling me it's like Fantasia and or the Hydra, I think of it, right? Like, you cut one head off and 100 more sprout.
Yeah.
It's really hard to attack this from, like, a bottom level criminal aspect because it's a top level systematic issue. And in my opinion, decriminalization kind of solves the issue. And we saw that with prohibition of alcohol, that once you remove the, you know, legal barriers and, like have regulation on these supplies, you remove the criminal element because they can to a smaller extent, but they can't really profit. I mean, look at alcohol and even now cannabis slowly but surely, like, you can't really profit on the black market because there's a regulated supply that we can trust and know what's in it. I think I had a turning point too, specifically sitting in a legislative hearing last spring where somebody said something about paying for people's bad choices, something to that effect, right? We're spending taxpayer dollars on this is not my words, this is a paraphrase of this person, to support the bad choices of drug addicts, right? Mm-hmm. And that was a really upsetting moment. And I feel like I've kind of realized and taken away from that we do all have these knee-jerk reactions because then later in life I've had these – or and that was a year ago, but, like, later I had these moments of being like, well, that person chose, and then kind of catching myself and realizing what I had learned in this legislative hearing from myself, which is that choice is rooted in opportunity. And that legislative committee member, state representative, whatever the case – whatever the situation was, probably has never had to choose – between buying diapers and buying food. Mm-hmm. They've probably never had to choose between a life of crime or menial labor, right? Mm-hmm. Like, and a lot of folks, and
for little money.
Yeah, exactly, right? And that's when you have, like, those are your choices, mm-hmm. right? Like, the big payoff for the big risk versus minimal payoff for low risk, and also the culture that kind of, like...
Also, everybody's, yeah, doing it, like you just were about to say. Sorry.
No, you're good. Thank you. We're in sync. We all get this, right? Yeah. That, like, our culture is promoting criminality, too. And, oh, my God, I don't think I've brought this up before, that I saw the most disturbing video, and it's, like, a long watch. You really have to hold to the end. But it is these hip hop artists talking about this meeting, this like record label meeting or something, where basically, and this is like to me, like one of those things that's really sad and scary to hear, but something I've also like known and seen. So it was very validating to hear it, though it was really like upsetting at the same time, that they have supposedly been literally promoting criminality in music to get more people, specifically more poor people, more people of color incarcerated, because incarceration makes those in power money, because that's how our prison system works in this country. And it makes them money by them not providing proper food or conditions. I mean, our entire prison system is, to be honest, disgusting and deplorable, especially when you look at other countries, right? Like, no human being deserves to be treated this way. And we see people locked up for years for, you know, nonviolent offenses, for cannabis offenses, and they're not, you know, getting nutritional meals. And it's interesting because we see these studies in schools. And I think the same thing, and this is kind of like a life dream of mine, so forgive my mini tirade, but I think that if we could get our schools and our prisons on track of having like proper nutrition and proper cognitive behavioral support. Yeah. Like those are the things that would like make a world of difference. And it's insane, nutrition alone, right? The amount of processed food and processed sugars that we feed ourselves, everyone, and how that affects our mood. And our, like, how we relate to each other, right? Like, no wonder we're all going around getting pissed off at each other and whatever, because we're on a bad mood. We're not getting enough sleep. We're all working too hard and not getting paid enough.
Yeah.
And
not getting enough nutrition.
And stressed, yeah.
I mean, definitely, man, the nutrition thing, it's just, that just is such a frustrating thing, because it isn't even just about nutrition in schools and prisons, but nutrition in certain communities.
Oh.
You know, I mean, it's like, yeah, we were in Tennessee at one point, and like it was when we were traveling in our van, it was like coming from Carbondale, it was so hard to not just shop at Whole Foods, because I was like, I can go to City Market here and get organic whatever I want, pretty much. And it maybe it's simple truth. It's maybe not the best organic thing, but I've got an organic option if I want it. I wasn't getting that at the, you know, regular grocery stores, Kroger grocery stores there, so Whole Foods. But then we went into, you know, the more poorer communities. There weren't even grocery stores. They're just little bodegas where it's like, I couldn't eat the food that we bought, and like the feeling that I had of like the privilege that I did not know I had until realizing it in these communities of like, wow, they don't even have a Kroger store.
Yeah, and you see that a lot, and you know, this is part of systemic racism that's been in our country for hundreds of years, and the way that, you know, the housing systems work. I won't get into all the details, but like, and housing taxes and all these things and like homeowner taxes and how that pays for your community and how that affects, you know, that downstream affects poor communities. And then, yeah, you see these food ghettos where you have bodegas that are mostly alcohol based is really the main thing being promoted, or candy or whatever the case may be. And maybe, you know, some bananas. I will say like Thunder River Market is like the most beautiful like bodega style I've ever seen now, because they've like, they have so many produce options. Exactly. You know, and that's our bodega.
You can walk into 7-Eleven and get a fresh banana if you want. Mm. You know, I mean, it's like, it's insane. I mean, it's just so sad. And we have about 5 more minutes or so. You were about to say something.
I just wanted to add that I think the conversation about food and nutrition, though it may seem a little off topic, is super relevant to chemical world because it's these chemicals that we put in our body, these processed sugars, and it's so hard to escape. It's not just schools. It's in our grocery stores, even if you are buying Simple Truth. I was so frustrated all day today, actually just driving in here because I had to go to Thunder River Market. I was thinking about you know, I'm so sick of like stevia and all this stuff because I have gut issues that's actually like worse for me. Mm-hmm. And I think it's funny because I just need regular cane sugar.
Yeah.
And I'm like, why are we like recreating the wheel of this processed food? Why don't we just like remove the processing?
Yeah.
You know, because we just keep reinventing it when like the natural version is okay in moderation. But either way, I think sugar especially, it's so hard to like, especially as parents, like not poison your children is basically my attitude, and like caffeine and all these things, you know, it's so hard to escape. And I do think it's very relevant because it's one of the ways that folks compartmentalize substance use. I did a training the other day where I brought up the statistic that 95% of Americans use psychoactive substances. That's pre-COVID data, mind you. Mm-hmm. And somebody's like, what does that mean? Great question, because it means folks using caffeine, nicotine, and things like that, right? And most Americans use some sort of psychoactive substance to help them get through the day or to cope or whatever the case may be. A cup of tea in the morning, a glass of wine at night. I get that you are probably living a healthier path than someone who's injecting needle drugs at this point in time, but you know, some drugs are administered differently and provide similar effects. And so the relationship that the individual has with the substance in a healthy way is pretty normal. And most people don't develop really unhealthy attachments to these drugs unless they're using them in an unhealthy disassociative coping mechanism. I feel like I just went off, but my point is, reining it back, that sugar is also a chemical that we put in our bodies all the time that's not good for us and is messing with our moods and our communities because it influences how we interact with each other when we're cranky and or me is too sugared up out here all the time yelling at people. I don't know.
Yeah, definitely. I don't even realize I'm yelling at the time. You stop yelling at me. I didn't realize I was yelling. I'm just really passionate about this thing.
I know. Can I just
say nutrition is something I'm really passionate about.
But oh, yeah.
It's really like I go through phases of like, I don't know. Oh, God. We have having a child and the stuff I like to junk, like my junky stuff that I like to eat. And then, it's too much. It's a lot. It's a lot to think about. So anyway, what were you going
to
say?
Oh, just I wanted to say a blanket thank you to the communities of Carbondale, the Roaring Fork Valley, Leadville, from tower to tower and beyond for not just putting up with my energy, but appreciating it. And I hope that, you know, if you're listening, you're enjoying Chemical World. You can find all of our episodes on katieandkay.org or wherever you get your podcasts. And again, you can always reach out to me at maggie@highrockiesharmreduction.com and follow us on Instagram and Facebook at highrockiesharmreduction.com. I think if you know what I'm talking about, you'll get where to find me. It's been a long weekend, and I just love you guys so much.
Thank you. And the one thing that I did want to mention before we sign off is, and I know that we've kind of talked a little bit about this, and I know that you've mentioned it a few times here on the show, but I also just want people to also be aware of xylazine.
Oh, yes.
And trank. Or the same. It's the same thing, right? Trank and xylazine.
So xylazine is a tranquilizer. So if you're saying trank, it's just an abbreviation for tranquilizer, which that is like something that they're referring to xylazine on the streets as. And, you know, similar to fentanyl, it's something that's been around and potentially in the drug supply for a really, really long time. It's not something that we've really seen out here yet. And in the Western Slope or smaller communities of Colorado, if that is not true and you're listening to this, like, you're so wrong, please call or email me. I would love to hear about that.
We need to know.
And it's really, you know, too, it's scary because it's a central nervous system depressant, just like opioids, just like alcohol, just like benzos. So whenever drugs are mixed together, you know, that overdose rate does increase and naloxone won't work on it because it's not an opioid. You should always still use naloxone if somebody is non-responsive and you don't know what they took because there might be opioids in there and at least we can get that part out. And you should always still call 911 if somebody's unresponsive and or get them to emergency medical care. But xylazine also causes like necrotic wounds, which is a bigger issue if you are injecting or smoking the drug, and it's not necessarily at the site of injection. So if anyone out there remembers stories of the crocodile, the Russian under the sink weird drug that would cause like these necrotic wounds, or I don't know, hobo spiders, different things out there. If you've ever seen that, it's basically like the wound starts and it keeps growing. And so they're hard to manage and maintain if you don't know that that's what's happening. But there are resources out there for these wounds, for these issues. And also just encourage folks, you know, that eating and drinking your drugs is always the safest thing to do. Especially if you are using fentanyl test strips, we encourage people that, you know, if you're testing a part of your drug in water, you've only tested that part. You have no idea what's in the rest of the pill or the rest of the bag. And it takes a very, very small amount of fentanyl to kill you. I am like hyper concerned about cocaine contamination, whether it's happening or not. I'm freaked out because people are dying and our friends and family and community members are very much at risk for dying if they choose to use cocaine, which they have every right to do and statistically may likely do. So I really encourage folks, get test strips from us. And if you can, start drinking the part that you test. It has a longer, like a shorter, sorry, what is the phrase? The onset is kind of longer. So it's less of like a really speedy high too. So it's kind of like feels a little bit more natural, they say, and you don't get a drip. So that might be a pro or a con for certain people. again, if you know what I'm talking about, feel free to shoot me a DM or an email. But at the end of the day, the most important thing we can do is always carry Narcan. And if you are going to use drugs, be around other people and make sure someone has Narcan and know that if you call 911, they will help you and you can't get in trouble. And it's just up to us to keep each other safe and sound.
Cool. Thank you for giving a little time to talk a little bit about that. And thank you all for listening to Chemical World. We will be back next month at 4:30 on April 8th. And if you'd like to listen to past episodes, you can go to kdnk.org or wherever you listen to podcasts. And remember, you don't have to be sober
to keep your community clean.
Drugs may come and drugs may go, and that's all right, you see. Experience has made me rich, and now I can use safely. It might be beer, it might be dope, it may even be caffeine. But we all have a little something that keeps us on our feet. What's important is being safe and stopping the spread of disease. You do not have to be sober to keep your community clean. 'Cause we are living in a chemical world, and I am a chemical girl or boy. We are living in a chemical world, and I am a chemical gender nondescript. We are living in a chemical world, and I am a chemical. We are living in a chemical world, and I am a chemical girl. You know we are living in a chemical world, and I am a chemical.